If God gave you some adversity this week, praise the Lord that He'll give you also the strength and again to get through those things as you look to Him. So I hope you had a good week. I do tell people, and some of you were laughing. I know somebody's talking to me this week, but some of you people in this church, you're good at being sneaky, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You are really good, because I totally did not know what was going on, and people made plans, and they had a little surprise for me this week. I was totally in the dark, and I was so totally in the dark that even when it was starting to take place, I was still like, I still don't know what's going on around here, but everybody's looking at me, so I guess it was good. But some of you just flat-out liars. That's what you are, okay? And so, again, I want to thank you, and I do want to say to the students at the Center County Christian, they thanked me, but they honored me by dedicating their yearbook to me, and I'm truly honored by that. And I want to tell, and I don't really have a chance to tell everybody, but just thank you for what you've done. And I totally was in the dark. I even walked in the chapel, and everybody was there looking at me, and I was like, what's going on here, you know? So I guess I'm very easy to fool, okay? I'm not the sharp person that's always looking for everything. And again, I do want to thank them for that honor there. Again, if you have your Bibles, you can go to 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. We have them memorized. But again, and here's where I come with sometimes messages on prayer. And so you understand this. It's hard. Now, maybe there's other preachers better than I am, and there are. But you know, when you speak about prayer, it is really hard to make it real exciting. Are you with me? I mean, there are some topics in the Bible, boy, I mean, you want to get exciting. You want to run around the stage and be all excited. You know, preach on David and Goliath and things like that. I mean, that's easy to get excited. But, you know, when a pastor comes up and says, we're going to speak on prayer, I don't know, you know, if you just say, oh, it's prayer today. You know, a pastor's not going to run around and jump on pews. And, you know, it's not one of those topics you can do that. But, again, I come back to this. Without prayer, where would we be as Christians? It's that important. So even though maybe we can't make it exciting and flash lights and we all heard fireworks this morning go off and everything, well, folks, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. I've said this. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. You know, I've had people say something to me like this. Now that your children are grown and gone, you know, what advice do you have to parents? You know, or what would you do better that you didn't do? You know, and my answer is very easy. I'd pray more. Okay? If I had to raise my children all over again, I'd pray more. Now, I said this too. That doesn't mean we didn't pray a lot. Because as parents, we prayed a lot for our children. Okay? But I'd pray more if I'd had to do it again. And by the way, for those of you whose children are moving away from home and you come after the nesters, you really do pray for them a lot more. Okay? And like I said, when your children move away, it's hard because you can't do things for them anymore that much. So you are to prayer. So prayer should just become more and more a part of life. Pray without ceasing. I've preached some sermons already. This sermon is called What God Wants. So that's why I put it on the top of the screen. But some of you remember a number of weeks ago, I did preach a sermon, Hindrances to Prayer, and things that can hinder and why we don't get our prayers answered. And I'm not preaching this sermon all over again. I just flashed it on the screen there. And I think I gave those 7 things of why prayers don't get answered. I think as I go down through the list, I can quote a Bible verse for every one of those things. It's very easy, you know. You have not because you ask not. And then you have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Sin, if we regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear us, okay? Proverbs has a verse, basically, that God stops His ears because you have not heard the cries of the poor. God will stop His ears when you pray, okay, as we go down through it. Again, you go to the, Peter wrote about marriage problems. If you want to get your prayers answered, then, again, men, you need to live with your wife. And, again, you need to honor her and live, and so you get your prayers answered. And so I've given some things here. What hinders prayer? I think I preached another one then. Okay? Things that help prayer. Okay? And again, I think I gave a big introduction that there's things that people do that they think are going to help them get their prayers answered. You remember 1 Kings chapter 18 when the prophets of Baal were trying to get Baal to hear them. What were they doing to themselves? They took lances and rocks and cut themselves. Okay? Thinking that if I cut myself, God's going to have to answer me. That's not going to help your prayer. Okay, asceticism never works. And there's other things that people do. Again, other religions, things that people think, if I do this, then God will have to answer my prayers. They're not going to help. But here's a thing, a list of things that if God says, if you do them, again, they'll be a help to your prayer. I hope that you understand. I think I do. Okay, and the older I get, I think the more I'm learning about prayer. But prayer is just not a formula. 1, 2, 3, God answers me. Has everybody got that? It isn't, all right? But there are some things here that, again, if you pray prayers and praying God's Word, these are good things, okay? And again, living in obedience, faith, and patience. But I'm on the fifth one today. That's the sermon today, is praying according to God's Word. So, basically, praying according to God's Word, we are in 1 John, and you can see there, I better get my Bible open to it. We are in 1 John chapter 5, and we've memorized these verses, have we not? This is the confidence that we have in Him. We ask anything, and here's the big thing, if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. I love this, and if we know that He hears whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So again, the idea that I have here is praying and making sure we understand, praying according to God's will. Now, like I said, I wish I could make the lights go off and this is going to be exciting. But again, this is one of the most important things we can learn in the Christian life is what is God's will. Again, talking to young people and as they graduate and as they go, you know, and you always say, you know, find God's will for your life and do it. And, you know, it seems so strange, but you know, well, what's God want me to do 5 years from now? I always tell young people, don't worry about what God wants you to do 5 years. You ought to know what He wants you to do today. Absolutely today. And if you do God's will today and then determine to do it tomorrow, I guarantee you 5 years from now, you'll still be right in the middle of God's will. And so, again, God's will becomes big. Well, we need to know what God's will is, because if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we're going to get the petitions that we desired of Him. Again, the first point I have is just what I call confidence in prayer. Having confidence in prayer. Again, this is the confidence that we have in Him. I don't know, like when you pray, what you think is going to happen. Oh, I'm going to pray, but God's not going to answer this. Okay? Wow, great confidence. The illustration I usually use is something I did with my children as they were growing up or whatever, but I don't know if your children do this or how they do it. I don't know if my family's normal. No, my family's not normal, but you just do things. But sometimes, you know, you have a child that wants something, and they come up and stand in front of you, and it sort of looks something like this, you know. Hey, Dad. Dad. What? Well, you probably won't want to do this, but I was just kind of thinking. Okay? If they started to do something to me, I would say to them right away, you're right. We're not doing it. Because you don't know how to ask. That's what I do. In fact, I'd say to me, and I'd even say to them when they got a little older, you're insulting me by asking me that way. Because you're letting me know that you have no confidence in me that I will do anything that you want to do. So when you come up here and kind of kick your feet and say, I know you don't want to do this, but I was just thinking, could we maybe, you know... And I usually say, you know, well, because of the way you asked, no, we're not going to do it. Okay? So then I'd say, okay, now just walk through that door over there. Okay? Get your thoughts together and come back and ask me like you know I'm going to give you what you want. Okay? And then they come back, you know, and they kind of put the act on. Hey, Dad, can we go out for pizza tonight? You know, and then I go, no. But, you know, no, I'd always say, did your mom put you up to this or something like that, you know? But then I'd say, now go through that door. Now you come back. And you stand there and you ask me as though I'm a father who likes you, loves you, and at times wants to give you the things that you want if they're not, what, blown out of proportion. You understand what I'm saying? And so they come back. Now, I tell people, I think that's the same thing we need to have with God. Let's get some confidence in prayer. Okay? Let's come before Him. Okay? And this is the confidence that we have in Him. We have this ability to speak freely and unreservedly with God. Okay? Let's talk to Him. But I mean, if every time you come to God and say, well, God, you know, I'm not going to ask this because I know you won't give it to me. What are you saying about God? Okay. I mean, is God better than our fathers on this earth? If He asks for bread, will God give you what's the verse? Stone? No. You know, He doesn't give scorpions. God wants to give good things. And so again, I think we need to come to God and just, I love the Psalms. The older I get, and like I said, young people, just remember this. As you get older, you will learn to like the Psalms more and more. Okay, that's the way I found it. When I was a kid, hey, give me the book of James. Give me something that's exciting. Okay? The Psalms, you get older. But I like the way that David talks to God. He just came and talked to him and said, you know, God, here's something that's bothering me. You know, I want to talk to you about it. And he would talk to God. So we need to come there, okay? Again, we should have this attitude of boldness. You know Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne. We need to come boldly to the throne. And so we need to have some confidence in prayer is what we need here. Let me read this. I took this out of a book. It's easier to read it than try to tell you. But Spurgeon said this. And I love the way Spurgeon puts things in poetic terms or how he makes pictures. But Spurgeon said this. Prayer pulls the rope below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give him an occasional pluck at the rope. But he who wins with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continually with all his might. Is that a good picture? Now, we don't have a bell in this church, okay? I've pastored three churches. This is the only one that doesn't have a bell. Romola Bible Church has a bell up there in that steeple or whatever. Calvary Bible Church of Westport has a bell, but it's in the lobby, is it not? Big bell, it's in the lobby. And we had to make a 2x4 thing to put it up in there to stop the clangor because at all times during the church, the little kids would go up there and they'd learn that if they grabbed that thing and threw it against the bell, it made a loud noise while we were all standing there. So we had to quiet that thing down. But I think most of us know the idea of there's a bell up there in the belfry. And as the rope comes down through and there'd be a rope hanging, at Romola there was a rope hanging in the back there at the church, and if you pull it, okay, but you had to get some good pulling on it. Now, I think I'm right, though I didn't go look it back up, okay? Let me give you just one of the greatest movies of all time. Are you ready for it? The Sound of Music. I do believe that there is a quick little scene when she's getting married of boys ringing bells. And those bells must have been this big, because if I'm not mistaken, those boys jumped up on the rope, and as their weight came down, but then it was almost like a seesaw, once they hit, back up they went. That looked good to me, okay? And those boys ringing the bells were way up there on the ropes, then down they'd come again, and back up. Am I right about that? Was it in the Sound of Music that they had that picture? Folks, that's the kind of bell ringing we're talking about. We're not just standing there and saying what? Ding, ding. We're talking about grab that rope and let it have it with all your might. Again, I remember out at Romola one time, one of the children, I think it was one of the Poorman girls, she was back at the rope and she says, the bell's broken. And I go, well, what's wrong with it? She goes, well, I pulled it and nothing happened. And I said, well, pull it. And so next thing you know, she just kind of pulls it and lets it go. And she goes, it didn't ring, you know. And I'm like, you didn't pull it, okay. I grabbed the thing and pulled it. And it rang really loud, and you know, then everybody looked real quick, and I was like, she did it, you know. But they all knew that she couldn't do that, or whatever. Well, it was kind of, but again, as we were up in an upper room where we pulled the rope. But I tell people, you know, you got to pull it. And let's have some confidence. Let's not just kind of do this or whatever. I kind of put it this way. Sometimes the reason why we ring bells or we sound sirens is because we need help. We're in an emergency. And if you're in an emergency, how would you ring the bell? How would you let the siren sound? You'd get the sound out there best you could, so help would come. Let's think about that. Let's have confidence in prayer, knowing that God wants to hear us, and He wants to answer. But sometimes we ask in such a cowardly way, or in such an unbold way, that, you know what, we're just not ringing the bell. We're not ringing the bell to get the answers that we need. Again, the next thing I have here is we need to pray according to His will. Again, here's the things I'll give you, and then I'll move to an illustration and then give you more. But there are definite things, as Nate read for us, 1 Timothy 2:4, we have about God who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Again, if you would say something like this, well, I want to pray for so-and-so that he gets saved, but I don't know if that's God's will. It is always God's will for you to pray for the salvation of souls. And then I tell people, this is an added note, pray like it all depends on God, and then go witness and do what you need to do, that it all depends on you. So souls will get saved. Again, we need to make sure we know that. Again, Matthew, where Jesus says, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Well, again, now here's the thing I ask is, do you know what God's will is? I'll give you a simple little illustration which tells about me and maybe a more foolish day. Okay? I remember my wife and I, and she's going to shake her head, and she'll be doing this, or she'll just put her head down and start crying. I don't know what she's going to do. But I remember when we were first married, and her birthday was coming, that I needed to buy her a present. Okay? She knows what's coming. She knows the story. Well, a lady in the church was having a Tupperware party, and she said, I've got some really nice Tupperware, and I know your wife's birthday, and I will bring you the catalog, and you need to order some really nice things, because I know you just got married, you guys don't have a whole lot, and this would be really, really nice, okay? So I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to buy my wife some Tupperware for her birthday. Really nice Tupperware, okay? Which I did. And I gave it to my wife. It didn't go over good at all, folks. How many wives are sitting here looking like, you did that? Yeah, I did. Okay? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'm right about this. We don't even have that Tupperware anymore. Because through the years, I've just kind of said, this reminds me of too many bad things. Or my wife would bring it up and go, honey, you remember this? Yes, I remember this. So I think they've all hit the trash can, and I've just thrown them away. So the memories are gone, okay? Now, I can tell any man here, okay? And some guys are sitting here, you know, or maybe some young guys are sitting here. Tupperware? Bad present? Really bad present, okay? Now, okay, watch this. I've been married now for 34 years. I'm not perfect at it, but there are basically 3 days in the year that I have learned to come up with really good presents. And my wife always says, you know what you're doing. It is her birthday, it is our anniversary, and it is Mother's Day. Don't miss those, men. I got men right now writing down those 3 dates. I don't know what your wife's birthday is, but don't miss those dates, okay? But I've learned no Tupperware, okay? I still think power tools are a good thing, but I'm told they're bad, okay? But Mother's Day that just went by, I mean, I hit this one on the head, folks. I nailed it, okay? All I did is we were driving in Center Hall. I drove down the road over there, and I stopped in Samus's greenhouse and basically gave her the credit card and said, knock yourself out. I'll push the carts, okay? And you buy flowers, plants, bulbs, whatever you want, okay? And I tell people, I don't go wrong doing that. Now, if you're here, ladies, and you say, I would never want that, I'm not your husband. I don't know what you want, but after 34 years, I've figured this one out. For Mother's Day, I never go wrong with flowers, plants, whatever she wants. Okay, does everybody follow me? And some of you guys, are you writing down here? Samus's credit card, got to get it right, okay? But that's, I mean, for me, Mother's Day is easy, okay? And she doesn't get tired of it. My wife has never gone out to the flower beds and said, you know what, we just have too many flowers around here, you know? In fact, we just decided the other day that there's a piece of the yard that we're going to tear up and we're going to make a new flower bed. We're going to make a new flower bed. I blame Tim Maurer for that, but... Because you helped me dig out a burning bush, which is still sitting back there, not buried yet. And we got to put the burning bush somewhere, so we have to make a new flower bed for that burning bush. But you know what? That's what she likes. Okay? Now, again, you may not be like my wife. Men, what I just did won't work with you. But it works really well for me at Mother's Day to take her to a greenhouse or somewhere and say, what do we need around the house? Let's go get it. Okay? I now know, after 34 years... If I would have just put flowers in those Tupperware containers, I'd have been better off.
They were good dishes.
They were good. I know that. I know. I learned that. Okay. Now watch. Simple, dumb little illustration, whatever. But see, as we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to be maturing. And as people say, well, we have to pray according to His will... You ought to be learning every year, every day, more about what God's will is and how to pray for it. If you say, well, I don't know what to buy. I don't know what to pray for. Well, every day, read God's Word. I'm not here to give a sermon, and this sermon is not, let me give you 27 things that God wants. Or here's 27 things that are God's will. Maybe that sermon will come. That's not what this sermon is. But this sermon is, you need to grow in your relationship with God to the point you know what He wants. and you're praying for it. I know my wife and other things. In fact, somebody said, well, Valentine's, what do you do Valentine's Day? I know one of the things I do for Valentine's Day, or I did for Valentine's Day. Okay, coming up to Valentine's Day or whatever, my wife said, you know, this stove needs cleaned. Bing! So one of the things I did for Valentine's Day was clean the oven, clean the stove, got it all looking brand new and perfect or whatever. I know she likes that. Okay. Now, most of the wives sitting here are, is that what you did? Well, I do other things, but I do know among things, as we were leaving with Valentine's Day, she goes, you know what, the oven's getting a little bit. Okay, I'm cleaning the oven. Now, you might say, man, that won't work for you. That's right. Because I'm married to her, and I know what things she likes. I've learned. I'm not perfect at it yet, but I've learned a whole lot better not to get Tupperware. Every day, work on your relationship with God. Read His Word. Be in conversation with Him, and you'll start learning what God's will is. Again, here's what I did, okay? I'm just doing it quick, and again, if we need to give credit, we'll do this. I'm going to put up a bunch of statements, and what these statements are, they are direct quotes. I should have put quotes around them. I know I should have probably put the person's name, but as I was reading commentaries on these verses, I just put their paraphrase or commentary about what they said about God's will is, okay? I'm not giving credit. I didn't want to use the screen space and all that. But one commentator said it's learning to ask for things that would bring pleasure to God. That's what he said it means. Another commentator says it's learning to ask for things that he has a desire for. Now, these are all pretty much synonymous statements, but I'm going to throw them all at you, and maybe by the last one, all of you will say, hey, I get it. Okay? I get it. It means we learn to delight in what God delights in. Again, Psalm 37:4 talks about delighting, the delights of your heart. But again, we learn to delight in what God delights in, is what we do. Came on, we've got more. It's all about learning to think like Jesus. That's what the commentators are saying these verses mean when you ask and pray according to His will. It's learning to ask for the things that He'd ask for. Does that make sense? I mean, this is all making sense to me. It means asking in His place to ask for what He would ask for if He was here. Okay? I'm just quoting. A lot of this is cut and paste, okay? So I know I got it right. All right. It means asking according to the same nature and heart that Jesus would be asking with. You can see that. Okay? Another commentator said, you know what? He and we look at it from the same point of view. It's pretty good. We pray about things from the same point of view is what we do here. Again, make sure you are praying what Jesus would be praying in your situation. Make sure that you're praying what Jesus would have for in your situation. Again, John 14, we're changing books, same author though. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Oops, I think I got this. In the Son, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you have the idea here? Let's start thinking more like God thinks in our prayers. And again, I go back to James chapter 4. You ask and you don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss that you could consume it upon your lusts. Instead of God's will, we want our lusts. And it doesn't work there. Again, let's go on to point number 3. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Again, if you look up these verses, 1 John 5:14-15, when you come to verse 15, again, you will see words. We've memorized it, okay? We have ask, we have the word petitions, and we have the word desired. If you go back into the original language, all three of these words are basically the same word, okay? Different form, but it's the same word. Now, you can see the way that they've translated them in the King James. You don't see that. It looks like ask is one word, petitions is another word, and desired is another word. However, they all have the same form or the same root word. Okay, so it's the form. It's different forms of the same word. So a paraphrase trying to keep that together would be, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we should ask, we know that we have the ask for things that we asked from Him. Now, you can kind of understand why they did that, because if you were in an English teacher, wouldn't you say what? That's not good. Too much repetition there. You need to get some variety. I know that that's what they would tell me, okay? So, the things that we ask, okay, they're the asked for things that we asked from Him. Now, here's the point I'm trying to come across with, okay? Folks, let's start asking God for things that we know He wants. Ask. Just keep coming and asking for the things that we know that He wants. Here's something that I got, a little prayer. I think it's called a soldier's prayer. I found it. And the soldier prayer kind of goes like this, okay? And this is so we start understanding and thinking like God. See, here's our petition. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. However, God said, you know what? I think I'm going to make you weak so you'll be humble and obey. I think we could go to the book of Corinthians and study Paul's life for this one, could we not? The thorn in the flesh. But sometimes, God, I want to be strong. And God says, that's not really what you need. Because if you're weak, then you'll learn to listen to me and obey what I have to do. Notice, I asked for health and I might do great things, but you know what? What I really needed was an infirmity that I might do better things. Okay? Do you know anybody in this life who has a physical infirmity and through their physical infirmity, their ministry got bigger and better? I mean, we all know people, do we not? Okay? The one that's a personal friend of mine that I know is who? Patch Bart. But there's a lot of people like that. That, again, through their infirmity, their ministry got better. You might say something like this, why am I in the hospital? Why am I sick? Because God needs to expand your ministry. And there's people there that you're going to meet that the ministry needs to, you need to give the ministry to. Again, sometimes we don't pray exactly and know what God actually wants. I ask for riches that I might be happy. Now, by the way, does that always work? Boy, if I just won that big old lottery they gave out the other day, I'd be happy. What did somebody say the other day, though? Some lady who was 84 years old won that thing or whatever. And then I heard somebody on TV say, what a waste. I was like, wow, you really like old people. Older people. Okay. But I asked for riches that I would be what? Happy. Okay. I was given poverty that I might be wise. Think about that one for a little bit. Can I give you a little illustration? I'm going to give you a little bit of illustration. It happened yesterday, okay? But my neighbor has a really good wheelbarrow. I have a wheelbarrow that's not a real good one. It's not a real big one. And the tire went flat on it. It dry rotted, okay? But my neighbor has a big wheelbarrow and a really nice one. And I use it way more than they do. They put it by a tree back there. And they say, hey, if you ever want to use it, go ahead and use it. So I use it all the time, okay? Well, their tire broke and went bad. And I kind of felt like I need to put a new tire on it, okay? So I went to Walmart and said to the guy at Walmart, I need two tires. I need a 4.80 by 8 and I need a 4.00 by 6. And he goes, we got the 4.80 by 8. We don't have the 4.00 by 6. We'll order that in. Well, the tire that came in was my neighbor's tire. Didn't have the one for my tire, mine. So I bought the tire and I went home and the guy said this to me. He goes, are you going to change that? And I go, yeah, I'm going to change it. And he said, can I just tell you something? Without the right machines, you can't change a wheelbarrow tire. I was like, it's on, buddy. It's on, you know. Well, I just tell people this. I've not always had the money in my life to change tires. And I can, at my house, with a couple crowbars and a rubber mallet and different things, I can change tires. I can do it. Because I learned that, hey, if I bought four tires and I could save, you know, $40 by not having them mounted and balanced by somebody else, that was $40 I didn't have. So I can change my own tires at my house. So I'm like, I'm on, you know. So sure enough, and by the way, I know that changing the smaller tires, does anybody know this? The smaller the tire, the harder it is to change. Okay. The bigger the tire, they're a little stretchier. Okay. So I'm like, you're on. So I went to work and I told my wife, I'm going to change this thing. It was difficult or whatever, but just as I was finishing the job up, my brother-in-law showed up. They came over for a picnic last night at the house. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, well, I just changed the tire on this wheelbarrow. And he goes, I don't have the slightest idea how to change a tire. And I go, so what do you do? He goes, I just always pay somebody else to do it. And I thought about this, okay? I asked for riches that I might be happy. Watch this. I was given poverty that I might be what? Now watch, there are some of you in here, and I'm not just talking about me and changing tires. By the way, that 8-inch tire was really hard. The next one coming in is a 6-inch tire. I'm really scared I can't do this one. But watch this. There are some people in this church, men, ladies, whatever, you are very talented at doing certain things. Do you know how you got talented at doing those certain things? Because you didn't have the money to pay somebody else to do it, so you decided to go ahead and try it yourself or learn how to do it. And now you're really good at it. Sometimes having a lack of money, and again, this is not part of the sermon, but it is. Sometimes it's a pretty good thing, isn't it? You learn to do it yourself. So sometimes when people say, oh, I wish maybe sometimes God just give me wisdom because I don't have the money to pay somebody else. Let me just go ahead and try to do this. Okay? Let me go ahead and try to do it. So, again, what is your prayer? Oh, I just need more money. That may not be what God wants for you. God's will for you is you become more talented and wise. That's the prayer maybe you need to offer up that comes there. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given the weakness that I might feel the need for God. That's pretty good, is it not? God's will always is that we depend and lean on Him. Again, as he goes on, I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy things that I have. I got nothing that I asked for, but got everything. Almost despite myself, and my unspoken prayers were answered. And again, I tell people, here's what it is. As we grow in the Lord, we should learn, Lord, teach me to pray for things that are your will. Because you know what? We'd all want to pray for more money, would we not? Again, when he ends up, he says, I am among all people most richly blessed. Amen. That's called the soldier's prayer. But again, it's praying for things that we know are God's will, that God would want in our lives. And you know what? Paul thought that maybe not having a thorn in the flesh is what was best for him. But God said what? Paul, you need that thorn in the flesh, so you'll depend on me, is what you'll do. Let me finish off with this. Three reasons why we think our prayers are not answered. These are always good discussions. There may be 10. I'm just going to give you 3. Can I do that? 3 reasons why we think our prayers are not answered. Have you ever prayed for something and you just realize, you know what, it's just not getting answered, okay? All of us have prayers that just don't get answered, okay? The first one is really easy, why we think our prayers aren't getting answered. Why? Because they're not, okay? If you ever say, well, I don't think my prayers are being answered, one of the reasons why you might not think they're getting answered is because they're not, okay? You ask amiss that you can consume it upon your lust, and God said what? I'm not giving you that. I'm not giving you that. By the way, God isn't so mean that when we ask for things, He just doesn't give them to us. Folks, there's things that God doesn't give us because He knows if He gave them to us, we'd kill ourselves with them. Am I right about that? We'd kill ourselves with them. Or we'd do ourselves in real bad. They would not be good for us. We'd fall into sin. We'd have all kinds of problems. Praise the Lord that God doesn't always give us what we ask for. So again, one of the things I would just give you is when somebody says, well, you know, God doesn't, you know, I don't think God's answering my prayers. Well, if you're praying prayers that are contrary to His will, again, praying things that He knows you shouldn't have, He's a good parent. He's not giving them to you. Okay? He's not going to give them to you. So maybe it's wrong motives is why we're there. Let me just go ahead and give you this. Okay? Peter, in Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16 and give you a prayer that was prayed. It made sense, but it didn't get answered. Matthew chapter 16, a good prayer that makes a lot of sense, but it was not going to get answered. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 22, please. Again, it's a request of Peter. But Jesus, in verse 21, has just told the disciples that He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things of the chief priests, elders, and scribes, and they are going to kill Him. And then He's going to raise on the third day. Verse 22, you know these verses. Peter took Him, began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Reasonable request. You know what? Here's my request. Here's what I want, God. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. So Peter's prayer, if we could kind of put it this way, was, you know what? I don't want you to die. Now watch this. Stop and think with me. What happens if Jesus never dies? We're in big trouble. Any of you here good enough to get to heaven on your own merits? We're in big trouble. And that's why Jesus says in verse 23, but He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, but those that are of men. Basically what He's saying right now, Peter, you are out of God's will. You don't understand the gospel. You're praying for my life to go on forever. It can't happen. God's will is that I will be smitten. I will be killed. And that's why He says here, you do not savor the things of God. You wonder why sometimes our prayers aren't answered? Because we're not savoring the things of God. We want what we want. And by the way, I come back to this. I said a couple times, this is a good request that Jesus doesn't die. Anybody have a problem with that? That sounds like a good request, but where does it leave us if He doesn't? Not a good thing at all. So again, there's nothing wrong with the nature of Peter's request. But again, you can understand God's will was for Jesus to come and down and die for our sins. So reasons why prayers don't get answered is because they're not being answered. And that's one that wasn't going to be answered. Again, let me give you this one. And this is an obvious one. Sometimes we don't think we're getting our prayers answered because they're not answered immediately. They're not answered immediately. We do live in a microwave society. And when we ask for something, we want it what? Now. Okay? Again, follow me through on this. How many of you have ever ordered anything through the internet? Is there always an option at the end that if you add how much money to your order, next day air can be available? Okay, now I'm going to stop here. How many of you do that? But you know what? Why do they put it on there? Because there are so many people that live in the world that we have that I want it and I want it now. Okay? We ordered something through the internet the other day, a glider for our porch. And they told us it was going to come in 7 days. And 2 days later, a box showed up. I was like, wow. And what if we would have paid that extra $40 to get it there next day? We'd have wasted, you know. I was like, 7 days. I haven't had it for how many years? 56 years. I can wait 7 days, okay? And maybe some of you aren't that way. But we always, hey, we're going to put the money on because we want it now, okay? And God says, you know what? I hear your prayer. It's not the right time, okay? It's just not the right time to do it right now. Again, I will give you these verses. You don't have to go to Genesis, but if you want the reference, there it is, okay? In Genesis 12, God tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. If you look at those verses, you will find out in Genesis 12 that Abraham was 75 years old. How old was he when that son came? 100. Am I right about that? Who's good at math here? Anybody good at math can do the math there? We're all good at math. How long did it take for that to come true? 25 years, okay? Now, I go with this. And some of you will answer in the positive. You will. How many of you have prayed for something to come true for 25 years and it hadn't come true yet? But you keep praying. Maybe the salvation of a person that you know, and you've been praying all these years. Hey, with God, it's just time. 25 years. At 75 and by 100. I do want you to go to, and that should be Romans 14. So please, no, excuse me, Romans 4. It is Romans 4. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. 25 years later, Romans chapter 4. I preached on this verse to the men, I think. I've talked to about the men. I think ladies were in mountaintop missions. But again, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Notice, here we go. As it is written, Romans 4, 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That was at 75 years old in Genesis 12. He said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Notice, before him whom he believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not, as though they were. This verse became very special to me as I read it. Folks, notice how God is described. I think I've shared this with some of you, maybe not all of you, I don't know. Notice in that verse how God is described. He is a God that quickens the dead. We don't use the word quicken anymore. What's the word we use? He gives life to dead people. God gives life to dead people. Is that big or small? That's huge. Man can't even start to do something like this. He gives life to dead people. And it goes on to say in verse 17, okay, and he calleth those things which are not as though they were. Okay, we have a God basically that says, you know, even before it's done, I talk about it like it's already happened. God talks in the present tense and it's still 25 years away. Look, God says, I've made you the father of many nations. You're 75 years old, you don't have a child, but you're the father of many nations. God basically talks as if it's already done. And he's not even going to have a son for how many more years? 25. Now maybe I'm going to get an answer here. Maybe I am. I thought about this and I looked at some of you and I'm thinking maybe somebody's here. How many of you got married and waited 25 years to have your first child? Anybody here? It's possible. Okay. Okay. I almost made it 25 years. We were at 4. Okay. 25 years. That's like long. Okay. Now, at this point in time, after 25 years and you don't have a child, most of us would think what? You're not going to have any. But God says, you're the father of many nations. 25 years, we finally just get one child, but he still calls him the father of many nations. And those nations aren't going to come for how many more years? You know what? I have a God that gives life to dead people, and he's so good about answering and doing things for us that he calls them and says they're already done, even though they're years away. Notice, though, Abraham in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Okay, he had absolutely no reason on a piece of paper to believe that God was still going to give him a son when he was 97 years old. Okay, physically, you know, any of you here like list people? Why, I got to make a decision. I'll take a piece of paper and I'll divide it down the middle. And on the one side, I'll put this decision. On the other side, this decision. I'll put on the left side why I should do it. I'll put on the right side why I shouldn't do it. And when we start listing why, and you know, and then we come down and we look at it and think, okay, well, I got more yeses than nos, so I guess I'll do it. Okay? And here goes Abraham, okay? I'm going to put a piece of paper, put a line down here, and I'm going to put down all the human reasons why I'm going to have a child and all the human reasons why I'm not going to have a child. Okay? And basically, you know, he kind of did this and he looked at his wife. First thing, she's done. Okay? He put on the right side, she's done. And then he looked at himself and said, what? I'm done. Are you following me through? And on the left side of the paper, humanly speaking, he had no reasons why he was going to have a child. And he was already, what, 90-some years old or whatever. There was absolutely no reason that he was going to. Now, you laugh at this. Look at verse 19. You laugh at what I said, but it was biblical. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. What are the next two words? Now dead. So when he said, I'm done, he meant what? I'm done. It's funny, though, because he did marry a lady later. Later in years, he married a lady named Keturah and had, what, like 7 more children to her? So God calls things back into life, does he not? But notice what he said about Sarah in verse 19. He said, I'm now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the what? Deadness of who? Sarah's womb. So he looked at her and said, she's done. Looked at himself and said, I'm done. But you know what? Even though he had no reason on the left side of the paper, humanly speaking, why he should still trust God, he had hope even against hope. You know why? Because God said it. And you know what? It's what God wants. It's God's will. I'm going to keep praying for it even though it's been 25 years. I'm not going to quit. Notice verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he that promised it, you know what, was able to bring it and perform it. Wow. Folks, if you know something is God's will, I don't care how long it's been, keep praying. Keep praying. Okay? Keep praying. Maybe it's for a child to get saved. Maybe it's for a friend to get saved. Maybe it's for a wayward child that's walked away from the Lord. Keep praying. Don't stop. Okay? They're not answered immediately, and sometimes we think it's just because God's not going to answer it. No, he's going to answer it. We need to just keep on praying. Okay? Number three, reasons why we think our prayers aren't answered. They're answered in a manner we would not expect. They're answered just a little bit different than what we'd expect. I like this verse. I don't know if I understand exactly what it means. It's Romans 8:26. If you want to go there, maybe you know exactly what it means and you can tell me. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. And I love this part. Okay, you're still getting there. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for. I know that's me sometimes. I don't know how to pray. And sometimes what it is because I don't know what to pray for, I may be praying for the wrong thing. Anybody with me on that? Maybe I'm praying for the wrong thing. But we know not what we should pray for. But notice, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so I believe there are times that possibly we're not praying exactly the way we should, or we don't know what to pray for. Maybe we're not praying for anything because we don't know which way to go, or maybe we went the wrong way and we don't know what to pray for. And you know what? The Spirit may have to change our prayer to conform it to the will of God. And when He does that, then answers are going to come. I have a little story that I wrote down here. I forget where I got it. Okay? Pretty neat little story. Maybe some of you are smarter than me and you'll figure out the ending before we get there. Don't share it with a neighbor. Okay? I didn't figure the ending out until they gave it to me. Here we go. A lone shipwreck survivor was cast into an uninhabited island. This man managed to build a hut in which he placed all that he had saved from his sinking ship. He prayed to God daily for deliverance. and he anxiously watched the horizon to hail any passing ship. One day, the man was horrified to find his hut in flames. All that he had was gone. To this man's limited vision, this was the worst thing that could possibly happen. The man was so upset by this that he began to curse God. The very next day, a ship arrived. "How did you ever find me?" explained the man. The captain answered, "It was easy. We saw the smoke from your signal." How many of you got there before I did? That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. And sometimes, you know what? What we may think is not what we want it, God realizes that's what's best for you. And you say, "Well, my prayers aren't answered." No, they are getting answered. They're getting an answer a little bit differently than maybe what we prayed, because we didn't quite know God's will. Our relationship with Him is just not quite what it should be. That's why we need to work on that relationship absolutely every day. So my sermon was called "What God Wants." Do I know everything that God wants? I'm not that mature yet. But I'm going to read my Bible today. I'm going to read it again tomorrow. And I'm going to try to read it every day this week, so that I can learn better what to give and how to pray to God. Okay? Again, do I always give my wife the perfect gift and do everything absolutely perfect? No. But I have entered into a relationship with her for the last, we'll call it 34 years, if I could put it that way. And I've now learned better what to do for her, what she likes and what she doesn't like. And so therefore, I do a little bit better than Tupperware on a birthday. Okay? Like I said, I'll put flowers in those Tupperware the next time or whatever. But I'm a little bit better. Grow in a relationship to God, and you'll be amazed at how our prayer life, again, will explode, and all of a sudden we're realizing God is working in and through our lives and through our prayer lives. Again, let's learn to love God more and know what He wants so our prayers will be better. Father, I pray that You might help us. Lord, that we would be people that learn about You. Lord, help us not just to read the Bible and, Lord, to be people that want to find something exciting. And, Lord, we're just looking at stories. But, Lord, I pray that You would help us to be people that want to learn more about You when we read this Bible. Lord, when we read the story of David and Goliath, help us not to look at Goliath. Help us not even look at David. Help us to see You, the one that can take somebody like David and use him to defeat a giant. Help us to see You in every page, every verse. And Lord, as we learn more about You, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to then make our prayers to be tailored to what You would want us to ask for. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the next song is on the majesty. I'm not sure that I formatted it right. Did I format it right or whatever? Okay. We're going to give Nate a minute. I'm just going to talk here for a minute. If you've got to put it down to 44 or 40, am I right about that? And hit the white button. You see the white button? He's better at computers than I am. I'm sorry about that. But when we went to that, I had that all done and I brought that over. And I know I forgot to format it. As I was praying, I was like, you know, I didn't format that song. And somebody was saying, what's that mean? Well, you getting it, Nate? Okay, he's shaking his head. There we go. All right, I'll take it over and turn it over to Tim, and he'll have it up here in a second, I think.